Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for a good week last week. Lord, this is another day. It's the beginning of another week. And we ask you, God, for your direction this week in all we do. We thank you for the privilege now to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for each one that's come. We do pray for Mr. Powell, Lord, and Ms. Powell, the situation there, that you would help intervene and give comfort and grace there. For the Garland and his loss, I pray for that. Things will work out well with that. Others, Lord, that are not here today because of sickness, because of other reasons, I pray for them. I pray for our church as a whole, Lord. We all need prayer. We all need your grace every day. And God, I just pray now, Lord, you would just help us today as we look at your word. Lord, we know the only food we're going to get spiritually is coming from your word, the strength we need, and the help we need. And God, we open it together now. And God, we ask you, God, just to lead us and guide us in all we say today and all we do. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We said last week, this psalm, Psalm 85, is a picture of the reunion of God and man. We know that Israel returning from captivity needed revival. They needed help. Their 70 years of bondage left them in great need, in great need. We see their homes and their places were all destroyed and ruined and in waste. Now, what is the possibilities? What's going to take place now with the nation of Israel? Well, we see they can be punishment or reward is awaiting them and the return of the Lord. And we see they need revival. They need revival. Now, we see in verse 1, 2, and 3, as we read it together again, we're going to see here the ideal of forgiveness. We see the psalmist is crying for pardon for these people, for what's taking place in their life. He's crying out for them. You know, it's amazing to me how God in the Old Testament used men to represent before him people. In other words, Moses, he cried out for the children of Israel, didn't he? Many times. He went before the Lord. We find many men of God in the Old Testament did that, went before the Lord on behalf of the people. I'm glad today that Jesus Christ did that for us. Man cannot do it, but Jesus Christ did it for us. He died for you and I, and I'm thankful today to know that. But we see here, as we look at these verses here, the psalmist is writing here. First of all, he's reminding God what you did for our fathers. Look at verse number 1. Lord, he says, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Lord, thou hast been favorable. That is, Lord, thou hast been gracious to our country. Gracious. You know, we can look at our lives and look at where we live, and we can say God has been gracious, hasn't he? He's gracious to us every day of our life. He's favorable to us. He wants us to have the best. He wants us to be the best, you know, in this life. And that's who God is. He's made that way. He's designed that way. But we find here the psalmist is crying out about forgiveness for the country, for Israel, because of their captivity, what they went through and all that. We also see in verse number two, not only talking about his favor, God has been favorable to them, but verse number two says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, the law. We also see about his forgiveness. Thou hast forgiven. Thou hast forgiven. I'm so glad to know that God forgives sin. I'm so glad to know that God will forgive you. He will forgive me. There's not any sin he won't forgive if you ask him to. If you ask him to. We see in Psalm 32, verse 1, the psalmist says, talking about God forgiving sins. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered, David said in Psalm 32, verse number 1. And what a blessing it is, folks, to know my sins have been forgiven. Jesus Christ forgave me of all my sins. And what a joy it is to know that today. And people today, they go around not forgiven. It's sad. It's something they could have if they would just call upon the Lord. So we see the psalmist is reminding God as he cries out this prayer, what you did for our fathers. What you did for our fathers. And we also notice also, in verse number 3, we talk about his forgetfulness. We talked about his favor, his forgiveness, and now we're talking about his forgetfulness in verse number 3. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. You have forgotten my sins. Forgotten my sins. I like that verse in Psalm says, our sins are being cast as far as the east is from the west. They're not to be remembered anymore. When you're under the blood of Christ, you see. He's forgiven us. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. The psalmist says here. So we see, as the psalmist is crying out here for pardon, the idea of forgiveness about God's favor, about God's forgiveness, and about God's forgetfulness. He's crying out to them. Also, in verses 4 through 7, the psalmist is crying out about, he's making a request of God. A request of God. And it is the reality of the present. Where we stand today, where does the nation of Israel, he says, stand today? The reality of our present situation, you see, help us, dear God. In verse number 4 and verse number 5, he says, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger towards us to cease. Turn us. We need, as a nation, David said, we need to turn. We need to repent of our sins. He says this in verse number 5, wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? In other words, is that your anger going to be continued throughout all the generations of our nation? Or will you forgive us? Will you withdraw that anger? He says here, he says, first of all, turn us. Again, cause us to repent. Cause us to repent as a nation. The greatest thing that can take place in this world today is for God's people and God's people that are not God's people to repent. Ask God to forgive us of our sins. You know, forgive us of our sins. We all do wrong. We all need help every day, you see. So it's necessary to realize that as he's requesting this to God for his nation, for his people, Israel, we need to request that for our nation, for our people today. Repentance. Repentance is the key here. We see this. We also see, not only that, but verse number 6 says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? He's calling out. He's requesting for revival. Revival. Revive us again. Would you not agree with me that we need revival? We need to be revived. We need to be alive again as God's people. I love to see the time again when God's people in the world respected God's house and God's men. I love to see that. And God's word. But you know, it's a time now that it's not that way. We need to be revived. You know, I often pray. But every day I pray for people, leaders in our country. My prayer I said last week is this, that God would save them. That's the only hope we have. God would save them. If God would save some of them, again, change their lives, change their hearts, maybe God could work through them and make a difference in our country. But he wants to work through us, first of all, by praying for them. We need to pray for them. Pray that God would save these people here. So he's requesting it to God for repentance and for revival. For revival. Why is he requesting for revival? Look at the last part of that verse. That thy people may rejoice in thee. I tell you, when God sends revival, God's people rejoice. Amen. There's joy, there's happiness, there's peace, there's excitement going on when revival takes place in a church, in the lives of people. And he says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? God's people want to rejoice. And the only rejoicing we have really is in the Lord. In the Lord here we see. So we see here, this is his request of God for repentance. Turn us again. We also see for revival. Revive us again. And we also see rejoicing, that thy people may rejoice in thee. God's people are not happy today. You notice that? Most of us are not really happy in the Lord. Why? Because we need revival. We need revival. We need an awakening. You know, we need, as the psalmist says, we need to be reminded of God's favor in the past. Okay? Sometimes we get so caught up on our present situation, you know, we forget about the mercies of God in the past, what he's done for us last week, last month, last year, you see. But look at how God is favorable to us always, no matter what state we're in this world that we live in today. And God has forgiven us, and God has forgotten these things that we have confessed to him. So we see here, also, David is reminding God, he's requesting to God, And now he's resolving to God in verses number 8 through 13. Look at verse number 8, first of all, we see. Verse number 7 says, Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us salvation. Show us thy mercy and grant us salvation. In verse number 8, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. To hear God. You know, I need to hear from God, don't you? I want to hear God. And how do we hear God, folks? Tell me. There's only one way. Through His Word. And allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Hear God. The only way I can hear God is, again, hear His Word. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, he says in verse number 8, to hear God. That's his request. This is an answer to hope. The answer to hope. That is of revival. Calling out, crying out for pardon. We also see in the last part of that verse, for he will speak to heed God. If God speaks to me, what is my response to be? I should speak for him, right? If God tells me something to do, I need to do it. If God does, God blesses me with a portion of scripture, maybe I've read many times or I haven't read before, and it excites me about those verses, I need to share it. Don't just harbor it in to me, but share it with somebody else, you see, he says. Resolving to God, the answer of hope here, to hear God and to heed God. Not only to hear his word, but to heed his word. Do what his word says for us to do whenever we hear it. We also see here that in verse number 9, he says, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Glory may dwell in our land. Oh, the only hope we have in our land is the salvation of people. Salvation of people, to bring glory into this land that we live in. To have God's glory. That's the key, folks, to have God's glory. And this only comes by the salvation that he brings to people here. Now, verses 10 through 12, we see the righteousness of God. Look at verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him and shall set us in the way of his steps. God will provide for man's needs and lead them in the right path. He always has, he always will. God will. When we see the meeting place for God, for us, is at the cross, folks. I'm so glad we can go back to the cross where we meet God, go back there, and we can meet God, and God will help us and direct us. There's always a place. There's always a place we can go to, and that is to meet God. So we're glad today to know here this. So we see this psalm, again, is a picture of the reunion of God and man coming back together. We see here. May it be our prayer, as verse number 6 tells us, will you please, God, send revival. Don't cause the revival not to come. He says here, will thou not revive us again? Revive us again. Why? That thy people may rejoice. God's people are hurting today. God's people today are crying out for many things in our life. We need revival. We need God's touch in our life. We need fellowship with God. He prays here for the continuous mercies of God. The former, he prays for the ones that God's already given us, first of all. And he asks also for God to continue to do that. Our present afflictions that we have should not do away with the remembrance of the mercies of God in the past. Sometimes, again, I've said this, we allow that to happen. We get so downtrodden who we are and what we're facing in our lives today, we forget what God's done yesterday, what he did last week in our life, you see. And we need to be reminded of that every day of our life. I said last week that the favor of God is a fountain of happiness to people, to nations. The favor of God. being right with God spiritually, having fellowship with God, that's the fountain of happiness in my life and your life. If I'm not right with God, I'm not in fellowship with God, I'm not going to be happy with myself or anybody else. That's the fountain of the favor of God. When God forgives sins, He covers it. And when God covers sin of His people, He covers them all. He covers them all. Not just part of them, but all of them. God forgives us of our sin. He shows mercy to them to whom He grants salvation. What mercy God has bestowed upon us, even to be saved. To be saved. His mercy is everlasting. And we know that sooner or later, God will speak peace to His people. Have you ever noticed that things don't always stay the same? They don't. We may be hit with hard trouble, and it may last a while, but things will change. They will change, you know. God always gives us light. God always gives us hope in our life when we are encountering problems and situations, you see. He always does. He's that kind of, He loves us so much. Peace is spoken only to those who turn from sin in our lives. If I want peace in my heart, I must acknowledge myself to God and ask God to forgive me of things that I know that I've done wrong in my life. Maybe some I don't know I've done wrong. I need to ask God to forgive me. He will give peace to us. And whatever our difficulties and distresses are, God is always nigh, folks. God is always nigh. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. If you go through some of the hardest trials in your life, remember this, God is with you. God loves you. God is within you if you're saved. His Holy Spirit is. And God is going to enable you to do this. The truth of the promise is shown here by God Himself, His mercy, by sending the Redeemer, redeeming us, giving us eternal life. Eternal life. So we see here, righteousness is a guide. It's a guide for us in meeting God, first of all, and then following Him. Righteousness, living right. In meeting God and following God. Now, revival. What is revival? We see here in the psalmist, he writes, "Will thou not revive us again? Will thou not revive us again?" Revival is awakening. Awakening of our faith in God. Our spiritual life and our activities for God. Revival. Stirring us up. It's to live. It's to recover. It's to come to life. Come to life as a Christian, as a believer. This revival. There are several, at least 8 revivals described in the Old Testament. 8 revivals described in the Old Testament. You know the one at revival at Mount Sinai and what happened there? How Moses was up on the mountain with God and what happened to the people there. And we see what the sin that took place. There's revival also under Samuel. There's revival at Mount Carmel with Elijah. He called down fire from heaven. And God moved there, revived those people because of His power that He displayed at that moment. Then there's a revival in Judah, revival at Nineveh. What a revival that was. Shocking to Jonah. But anyway, there's a revival also led by Hezekiah in the Word of God. There's revival also under young King Josiah. And there's also the revival, the post-captivity revival in Nehemiah. So there are many revivals that we could go through in the Bible and look at and examine. We don't have time to do that. But the New Testament itself also records the time of the early church in Jerusalem when they prayed for boldness, they prayed for power, did they not? They're in the book of Acts. And we see here they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they went about telling people about what happened here and there. We see, every how revival is genuine is because it's God sent. God sends revival, not mankind. Not mankind. God sends revival. But there are some things that we need to do in order for God Himself to realize that we're being business and we want to see revival. Will thou not revive us again? That thy people may rejoice in thee. Will thou not send revival? Revival again. Do you really believe that God can send revival? Do we really believe that? The question is this, do we really want that? Do we really want that today in our lives, in our country in which we live? God can do anything He wants to do. I believe it all my heart. But do we really want revival? Do we really want revival? However genuine revival is, again, it has to be God sent. It has to be God sent. There's no human being that can create interest in people to have revival. There's no individual that can speak to the conscience of people in regards to revival. There's no human being that can generate a spiritual hunger. It has to be the Spirit of God through the Word of God to create that spiritual hunger to cause us to be moved and awakened by God, you see, as God's people. We need revival. We need revival, folks. We really do. Yet, we know that many revivals, great revivals, come from three things, first of all. First of all, there must be prayer. We must pray for revival. I can remember as a young boy, teenager, going to church. I wasn't saved at that time. But I can remember many times people at church, they gather together and they have prayer for revival. They pray for God to send revival. They did. They schedule an event in the church for a man to come to speak. And weeks before they come, that man come, they would pray. They would meet at least once a week. Not prayer meeting time, but once a week, they would meet at church and pray for revival. I've seen that in my life. And I've seen results of that. I didn't know what was taking place at that time because I wasn't a Christian myself. But I saw whenever the time came for revival, God sent a special meeting. He spent a special meeting. Why? Because people prayed. You know, you've heard, and I've heard all my life, there's nothing of earth on earth, nothing of heavenly value is going to take place apart on this earth apart from prayer. We have to pray. If we want God to do something, we have to pray. If we desire something from God, we have to pray. We need to pray. I'm afraid, I confess to you, I don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. I live in a world that's so busy that it occupies me too much. And I need to stop and pray more than I do. We need to pray, folks. If we want revival, He says, will thou not revive us again? He won't unless we pray, folks. He won't unless, first of all, we pray. We must pray for revival. Pray for revival. Let's pray for revival starting right here at Fellowship Baptist Church. Where else could we pray for? Right here. It's where we meet at, right? Right here is where we need to be praying about revival taking place. Taking place in my heart at my house. Your heart at your house. Here at church, let's pray for revival. Let's pray. That's first of all. We have to pray. Secondly, there is intercession. That is, talking about other people, bringing people to the Lord, interceding for our lost people, people that we know that are lost, people that we meet that are lost, praying on their behalf that God would help them to get saved also. Praying, it's all about prayer. And then thirdly, it's confession of our sins. Confession of our sins. Getting ourselves right before God that God might hear us. You know, the Bible says God's not going to listen to somebody pray if we have sin in our lives. He's not going to do that. There must be a clean vessel. Therefore, we need to pray. We need to intercede. We need to confess our sins if we want God to send revival. If we need revival. We need revival, folks. I need revival. You may not. I do. I need revival in my life. I really do. I would like to see the breath of God fall upon this place right here. I really would. I let us see the touch of God fall upon us, all of us, and stir us and awaken us. We're living in the last days. I believe that with all my heart. I don't personally have many more years on this world, in this world, myself. But I'm looking for the Lord to come before I go. I really am. But if He comes, He's coming when His own time. I know that. But I'll let us see a great awakening before He comes. I really would. It's only going to come if God's people pray. If God's people pray, intercede, confess our sins. God will help us to be revived, to be revived. Remember when I said, the favor of God, the favor of God. See, this is true happiness. Favor of God, being happy, you see. Not just temporary happiness, but happiness forever. We see God, when he sends revival, what takes place? What takes place when God himself sends revival? First of all, there's a spiritual revolution. People's eyes are open. God's children open their eyes. They understand, hey, this is of God. This is of God. Only God can do this. Only God can do this. That's what happens when revival comes. We see also there's a zeal that takes place in the lives of God's people. An emotional zeal. People get happy when there's revival. Don't you rejoice? We should rejoice when somebody comes to Christ. But we also should rejoice when God himself sends a revival. There's a spiritual awakening. There's a zeal that quickens us and awakes us to reality of something that we've been missing because we haven't been obedient to God. We haven't been praying. We haven't been interceding. We haven't been confessing our sins like we should have for God to send revival. There's always great fear, too, when God sends revival. That causes great fear upon God's people. That fear causes us to be motivated to talk to more people about Christ because we don't want them to die and go to hell. There's great fear. There's weeping. There's crying. Because we're humbling ourselves before God. Weeping takes place. Singing takes place. Rejoicing takes place when God sends revival. All these things take place here. See, a return to the Lord himself is what we need. And to do that, there brings a more righteousness to us, and also godly living. We have a desire to live for God more. You remember the day you got saved? How you wanted to do something for God? You were so eager to do something for God? I do. Well, that's what happens when revival takes place, folks. We want to do more for God. We forget about ourselves, and we start thinking about other people, and we start thinking about God when revival takes place. The psalmist says this, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Why? He says, that thy people may rejoice in thee. That thy people may rejoice in thee. Folks, I say this to myself and say it to you. God wants to send a revival. And God will send a revival. But there's something that he requires of us first. He requires something of us first. May the Lord help us to pray, to intercede, confess our sins, and like I said, most of all, pray. Pray. Prayer is the key, folks. It really is. I trust you're praying this month for revival. I am. I want God to awaken us that we can be happy Christian people in this world. Even though it's sinful, we can still rejoice in the Lord when God sends revival in my heart and in your heart. Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, I don't know how you put up with me, but thank you, Lord, that you love me in spite of me. God, I pray, Lord, as we look at these verses and this psalm week after week, we'll trust, God, that you might illumine our minds and our hearts, God, to reality. And Lord, we might search our hearts and ask ourselves a question. Do we really want revival? Do we really want to see God do something in our lives and in our country? Oh, God, help us. Lord, we're living in the last days. And God, I just pray, God, you would do a work. Lord, that we would know that it's heaven sent. And only you can do it. Lord, bless now the service we're about to go into the next hour. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.